This is Wade Rathke. You're listening to Wade's World, a Voice of the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay, points north and south, east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org and www.acornradio.org. A podcast will be available this show on these websites and affiliatedmediamovement.org. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we're in Montreal, Canada, but we're talking to Olivia O'Connor, who is the head organizer of Acorn Canada in Hamilton, Ontario. Olivia, welcome to Wade's World.
Thanks for having me, Wade.
Oh, my pleasure. Where, for all of our listeners around the world, where is Hamilton, Ontario?
So Hamilton, it's in southern Ontario, about an hour from Toronto. It's on Lake Ontario. It's a steel town, working class city. We have a great chapter in our downtown, our mountain. So we've been organizing there for a few years now.
And how long have you been there, Olivia?
I started in February.
In February. So this is your first full year we're coming on to now, and it's been just an exciting time. But talking about Hamilton, I happened to mention to you before the show that on a plane the other day, I was reading a book about somebody who went the whole 4,000 miles of the border between the U.S. and Canada. And, he was on a freighter of some kind in the lake, and they stopped at Hamilton. He loved Hamilton. He got off, and all of a sudden it was, you know, he thought it was a mini Toronto, coffee shops and bookstores, and walked around town. Is that Hamilton? Because I've been in Hamilton. He was talking about a Hamilton I didn't know, but is Hamilton downtown becoming gentrified?
It is. James Street North is the main street in downtown Hamilton. If you were there 5 years ago and came back today, it's different.
I was there 5 years ago. I was there 8 or 9 years ago, actually. So it is really, you know, something happening there. But where do our members live in Hamilton now?
And that's the interesting part. Our members live there.
Okay, downtown. Right in the middle of gentrification hell.
Right in the middle.
Wow,
so the downtown is where a lot of the services are. You know, Hamilton has the escarpment, so there's a bit of a geographical boundary that separates the city. Tougher for our members to live up there if, you know, it's a little pricey to take the bus. So our first chapter was in the downtown. Our chair, Mike Wood, lives in one of the big high rises, about 10-minute walk from James Street.
Oh, okay. Now, Mike Wood has become quite the character. I remember, what was it, the summer, a big front page story, Mike's in everything, but he is quite a special leader for you in Acorn Canada and Hamilton, isn't he?
Yeah, no, Mike is amazing. He born and raised in downtown Hamilton. Has really, full-time volunteering, helping tenants citywide, spends the afternoons, outreach at the downtown mall, leads our downtown chapter meetings. Mike is a very special guy.
Given that we talk to the most interesting people in the world, we're going to have to get Mike on Wade's World one of these times,
because
he sounds like another one of the most. But I think he said in the article that he goes out there and sort of, he's like a one-man tenants bureau, canvassing, talking to people, getting to sign petitions. He's like city council meeting. He's like a gadfly. And
yeah, this is full-time work for Mike Wood, but he loves it.
And how does he manage to do all this time as a volunteer?
Well, Mike, unfortunately, he did have to retire early to a disability. Supporting him and his wife, Tabby, who go everywhere together, off social assistance. So, yeah, life's not easy. Rents are going up. He lives in an Effort Trust building, which is a big target of Hamilton Acorn. He spends his time.
Tell me about this building. Is this one of the issues that the local group has been dealing with?
Yeah, one of our big campaigns that we're focusing on is, holding landlords accountable. For us, target isn't even landlords anymore. It's the city who's, chosen to not protect tenants when it does have the municipal powers.
And what kind of protections do they have? I mean, we have this problem all over the world, and, in places like England, where social housing used to dominate for working and lower-income families, now that more than half of the tenants are in private housing. They don't have a legal structure. So we're fighting, you know, for things that would seem commonplace here: security of tenure, which means a lease, what letting agencies, which means renting agencies, can do. Does the municipal code have protections for tenants that they aren't following, or are you having to fight to get those protections?
Yeah, we're fighting to get more protections. I mean, we're a victim of weak provincial housing policy, so there's strong financial incentive for landlords to, you know, get tenants to leave on their own accord because of neglect. So, you know, repair issues, pest issues, elevator security issues, the list goes on. So we're fighting for the city to implement a bylaw that would be more proactive of the city's enforcement standards. Most tenants would be shocked to learn that a working appliance isn't in the city's property standards. So we want to get that fixed as well. But, you know, we think landlords should register with the city. There should be annual inspections and consequences. We really think there should be a culture of zero tolerance for bad landlords. Right now, they're given extensions, very lenient. A lot of our city councilors are landlords. So we're looking for a big shift in Hamilton.
Are landlords big donors to political campaigns?
I think they are. And then a lot of, when this is coming up at City Hall, we're finding a lot of councilors are recusing themselves. It's a conflict of interest.
Oh, really? Isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh. And a big target of ours is a new councillor named Brad Clark, who was actually in his previous life a landlord lobbyist.
Really? Now, is part of what you're dealing with this landlord licensing campaign? Because we've obviously on Wage World, we've talked before about similar efforts in Ottawa and Toronto. Is that part of your campaign?
Yeah, we're calling it Landlord Registry. Suggesting we want the city to explore the differences between licensing and registering, you know, finding the best Made in Hamilton solution. So I think, you know, the city has a bit of work to do to figure out what will be the best tool to have the capacity to enforce the city's property standards.
What would be involved in a registry, Olivia?
Landlords would register with the city, pay a small fee per unit, which would, you know, fund the bylaw department, to hire more inspectors, you know, be
They'd
able
be
to...
saying, okay, I have 10 units here on James Street.
And, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the city doesn't know where they have units now, or...?
It's a very reactive approach, so the burden is on the tenant. If you know, the tenant even feels comfortable, you know, reaching out to the city if they have an issue, you know, our members call bylaw, they're hearing, why don't you move? Why don't you hire a mold specialist to confirm you even have mold in the first place before we come down there? Not a good response.
Because it's complaint-driven?
Exactly, it's complaint-driven.
So this is an uphill battle, or are you getting some positive response? I mean, obviously you're getting great response from tenants, but what kind of response are you getting from the city council at this point if half of them are landlords?
It's a slow battle. We've had meetings with a few of the downtown city councilors. One success, Ward 4 councilor was on the fence, you know, wasn't really a champion of tenant issues during the election. Didn't have a challenger, but he did come out and supports our campaign. A bit of work to do, I think, the more mountain rural councillors. The rental housing subcommittee at City Hall recently passed a licensing pilot for student rentals in two of the city wards. So a good sign that there is the appetite for this type of...
And do we know yet what's involved in this pilot? Is this a real thing, or is it just some paper mache to get you guys off their back?
It's a real thing.
Okay.
So they have like staffing quotas. The money is there, and then revenue will be generated with the licensing fee of the dwellings, which $200 for the low density.
Okay, so we're talking to Olivia O'Connor, who's the head organizer for Acorn Canada in Hamilton, Ontario, which is the largest population-wise province, and Hamilton sort of, is this the wrong way of describing it? It's sort of halfway between Buffalo, New York, and Toronto?
Yeah, that's a good way.
Yeah, so it's, if you're on the megabus, you're going to pass through Hamilton on your way to Buffalo, or you're in Buffalo and coming up from Niagara or something, and on your way to the big city of Toronto, you're going to see Hamilton. Now, Olivia, historically, and I think you mentioned this in your first statements, this was a steel town. but not so much anymore.
No, I think the number of people that are employed by steel and manufacturing has really declined. The biggest employers now are, you know, the university, the college. You know, we have a couple of big hospitals, and then, you know, we also have a great art culture in Hamilton.
Okay, so part of this gentrification, yeah.
Part of the gentrification.
But at least, yeah, okay, so it's part of the culture. Because I know when we first opened the office there in Hamilton, it was in the Steelworkers Hall for a while. I know I was there at some point.
And we've returned there. So we have an office on the second floor.
Oh, that's where our office is now too?
Yep, we're back.
Okay, well, it'll be home all home week. Yeah. So other than these tenant issues and trying to get a registry and whatever, are there other issues that are really engaging people in Hamilton? Because it seems like every time I turn around, there's something. Y'all get a lot of press in Hamilton.
Yeah, but,
We need to figure out what you've got in the water there, because you're certainly getting a lot of publicity for whatever the work
is. Yeah, the media has really grabbed onto what we're doing. A couple other housing issues that we're working on as well. With the downtown being rezoned, there's going to be a lot of development. We also have an LRT project.
What does LRT stand for?
Light rail transit.
Okay, good guess.
Which is going to run right through our turf. So a lot of developers are coming in, buying up cheap property, and looking to get rid of our members. So have a couple of displacement and rent eviction campaigns that we're working on as well. Our members are also deeply concerned with what's going on provincially with cuts to minimum wage, cuts to social assistance. So that's a big thing for us to work on as well.
You know, Olivia, we haven't really gotten a chance to inform people about what's happening in the province. I mean, you mentioned that now. Maybe you could give people some sense. But there's been a change of leadership in Ontario province, hasn't there?
Yeah, we had our provincial election in June. Liberals had been in power for 15 years. Voters had grown a little tired of the Liberal government, and the Conservative Party, led by Doug Ford, won a majority.
And Doug Ford's quite the character.
Yeah, it's quite the character. It's been a lot of things are moving quickly. They're steaming ahead with some really big changes. You know, big for us, there's been changes to rent control. Any new buildings won't have it. They did a review of social assistance. Changes there to cuts of increase and defining disability. So a lot coming.
So Ford is sort of seen almost as the Donald Trump of Canada, right?
He is, yes.
And that's not necessarily a compliment in Canada or anywhere else.
No, and especially in a town like Hamilton, a strong NDP town.
NDP
Ford
is the national, New Democratic Party, really. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Doug Ford is very unpopular in Hamilton.
His brother was the mayor of Toronto, who was famous for, among other things, explaining why he was seen purchasing some kind of illegal drug in downtown Toronto. And his excuse was a classic that I don't know. Please don't ever have children or others quoted. He said, "Hey, but I was hammered." Well, saying that you were drunk while buying drugs normally would disqualify from being a mayor, but that was just
not the best look.
No, it's not the best look. But he, you know, that was a well-known quote down in the United States and around the world. Oh, hey, no, it's okay. I was hammered. I mean, why would I be responsible? Oh, mercy. And this is his brother. I mean, he died, a couple of years ago. I mean, obviously young, relatively speaking, and now his brother has come out of nowhere. He was on the city council in Toronto, and it's making a lot of things more difficult. But Hamilton's sort of an island in the middle of the storm, because you still have some ability to get stuff done there.
Yeah, I think, you know, for our members, I think focusing the next 4 years, a bit of a period of resistance provincially, but I think there's some good local wins that we'll have more success.
And this, why do you get so much press? I mean, newspapers are supposed to be dead. What's happening? Is this a vibrant newspaper here that cares about local news? I mean, that's sort of sui generis as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Hamilton Spectator, which is owned by the big Torstar company.
Is that a Canadian-based publication company?
I think so. Yeah. But you know, they do the Toronto Star and have national branches. But there's a...
The Toronto Star gives us pretty good coverage. They're a little bit more progressive paper than most in Toronto, aren't they?
Yeah, a little more left-leaning. But yeah, there's a couple of journalists that have Mike on speed dial. I think the tenant issue and with rents going up and Hamilton going through this transition, there's a lot of interest in kind of who's being left behind as well. And I think we've had some really great actions, really great leaders. So the press seems to like us right now.
We're talking to Olivia O'Connor about Hamilton Acorn, which is in Ontario, and we've gotten to talk about Ontario a little bit as well. But it's a little bit of a testament to the success you've had that I think Acorn Canada is planning to have its biennial convention next year in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. That adds a little bit extra on your plate for next year, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit more work. It's going to be at McMaster weekend in June. We're excited to be the host city. Hamilton's great. I think folks from the country will enjoy their stay. But we're looking forward to it.
Now, we talk about gentrification downtown. McMaster's a little way outside of town, though. I mean, not outside of town, but I've been there one time, but it's not downtown.
No, it's about a 20-minute bus ride to downtown. It's McMaster's located in Westdale, which is a bit of a more wealthy part of the city. Mm-hmm. I run into students in other parts of the city that can't afford to live there and are forced into an hour commute. So there is a lot of student housing, though, and we've done some door knocking there recently.
And where is this LRT supposed to run? Does it run out towards McMaster?
Or? Yeah, it's going to be McMaster to Eastgate.
Oh. So
it's a long route.
Oh, wow. And when is it scheduled to start work, or has it already
Next
begun?
Next year, and I think 2024, I think it's supposed to be done.
So relatively fast, then. Mm-hmm. And it's just one straight line?
Or? One straight line.
And is there, what's the population in Hamilton now? Is there enough demand for this?
Just over 500,000.
Oh, is it that big?
The previous Liberal government promised $1 billion to kind of cover the infrastructure project, but it's been a divisive issue, to say the least, in Hamilton, both politically and even with our members as well, who really just want to see affordable housing be the priority in Hamilton. But the election was seen as a referendum on the LRT, and the mayor won a majority. And Doug Ford says, if Hamilton wants an LRT, they'll get an LRT. So where we are right now.
Oh, wow. So we have one place where Doug Ford is willing to do something as opposed to take something away. So aside from housing, are there other issues that Hamilton Acorn's been fighting?
Yeah, I mean, provincially, our members are very engaged in the social assistance changes. On our Mountain chapter, there's did an organizing drive in the spring, and in addition to housing, kind of accessibility and safe streets was an issue as well. Sidewalks didn't get shoveled up there. Might be something we work on this winter.
Yeah, and you get a lot of snow?
We do.
Lake effect, or what is it? Don't they talk about lake effect snow? Because you're right on the lake.
Yeah, we're right on the lake.
Never a dull moment. And people keep talking about something called ODESP. What does that stand for?
It's Ontario Disability Program. So okay. A lot of our members are on disability assistance, and hasn't kept pace with increasing rent, groceries.
And is that being cut back as well under the Ford administration, or what's the issue there?
Yeah, it was supposed to go up 3% in September, which was a promise by the previous Liberal government. Doug Ford government came in and cut the increase to 1.5%, which is even less than the rent is allowed to go up. Hmm. So not much of a help.
No. But that's not something you can solve from Hamilton. That's a whole national or provincial, I guess,
provincial
issue. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I know in British Columbia there was a big fight around clawbacks. Is that a problem in Ontario as well?
Yeah, they changed the clawback. So you can make more money now in ODSP, but anything over, they claw back more. So kind of a worst deal.
Clawbacks is actually sort of a graphic description. If people claim that they want people on social benefits to work, but then if they work, they're reducted. I don't know where I got the word reductive. They reduced their social service, their ODSP benefits to the level of work. So there's no incentive to go to work, is there?
Yeah.
You know, you'd think that when the conservatives get ready to punish people, they would sort of think these things through. You know, it's one of those kind of weird situations. So housing in many forms is a huge issue, ODSP.
Yeah, and then something else that we're developing as a campaign is around community benefits as well. ACORN has a spot on the board now, the Community Benefits Network, which will be around the LRT, you know, fighting for local hires, and definitely want to see affordable housing along the route as well.
And who do you end up making the demands to on a community benefit here? This is obviously not a private company. Is this a private company that's doing the LRT?
Yeah, it's Metrolinx.
But is that controlled by the city or is that some private development?
It's government.
Government. So you'd be asking them for the sort of a first source, certain number of jobs or whatever.
Yeah. So they've already put out the request for proposals. I think there's like three bids, which will be picked in the spring. So it's we have 3 to 6 months to, you know, make a strong ask to Metrolinx for community benefits.
And maybe I misheard this, but you just say you were on a committee or there is a committee?
Yeah, ACORN has a spot on the board of the Community Benefits Network, so that'll be an opportunity for us to make sure that our members, when the time comes to be at the table, that we will have a voice there.
Did I hear you wrong a couple of days ago in this meeting about some of the other members on the board being a little bit conflicted about what it meant to really even have community benefits, or maybe that was someone else?
Yeah, for our members, you know, LRT has been a bit of a divisive issue in Hamilton. I think for most folks, they, you know, might have wanted affordable housing, but that wasn't the option, really. It was, you know, $1 billion or nothing. So, you know, with it going ahead.
$1 billion or nothing. That's just get your mind wrapped around. If there's $1 billion, you're going to, okay, I'll take that as opposed to nothing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, we just, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we get something out of this project and let's make sure that's affordable housing.
Gotcha. And I think there's some discussion about Mike Wood, the ACORN leader, being a member of that committee.
Yeah, so we do have that spot, but we're looking for Mike to have a spot at City Hall on this rental housing subcommittee.
On the rental housing, okay.
Which so should be a huge shakeup. So.
Yeah. And what do you think the odds are?
I think it won't look good if the city chooses us not to be on there, but we're hoping to work with a city councilor to maybe change the terms of reference that, you know, there has to be a rep from a tenant membership organization.
Okay. So we're talking to Olivia O'Connor, who's the head organizer of ACORN Canada in Hamilton, Ontario. We've covered a waterfront of topics. So you mentioned that you started working in this operation in February. Were you living in Hamilton prior to that?
I wasn't. I was in Toronto. My partner moved to Hamilton 3 years ago, so I've been going there back and forth on the weekends and then made the full move in February.
Okay. So you're originally Canadian?
Originally Canadian.
Originally a Torontonian or whatever?
Originally Toronto.
Oh, so how do you find that change? I mean, there all these people like I'm reading about are moving from Toronto to Hamilton. Now you're part of the wave. I mean.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you know, at the door and, you know, in our meetings, or just Hamilton in general, there, you know, is, you know, a bit of finger pointing of folks coming from Toronto who can't afford to live in Toronto anymore. Just from like the organizing that I've done, there's a lot of people from a lot of different places. So I think
I'm sure that's true. Now, are people commuting from Hamilton to come back to work in Toronto on a daily basis? You mentioned
there is, I'm not sure what percent, but you know, Hamilton isn't a bedroom community, so majority do work and live in Hamilton.
How far? I mean, I know I've been on the mega bus through there, but how long does it take? Is it an hour?
No traffic. You can get to Toronto in 45 minutes.
You know, in some cities, I mean, the Seattles and Vancouvers and New Yorks and whatever, 45 minutes, that's nothing, you know. I mean, But luckily, it sounds like from what you're saying, Hamilton's not likely to become a bedroom community for Toronto. It's got enough industry and business to sustain itself.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, you mentioned medical employers are big down there. Is it a whole regional medical center or just...
Yeah, there's a couple of big hospitals that I think folks from outside of Hamilton come to. So there's a lot of jobs in health.
I know at this stage in the year-end meeting, we're always talking about big plans for next year. What are you looking for in terms of the organization next year? I heard some pretty outrageous goals. So you're obviously getting pretty ambitious about this next year.
Yeah, we're looking to grow. So we did an organizing drive in the winter. We have two chapters. We're looking for to start another chapter in East Hamilton, where we already have a couple good leaders, and looking to have a Canvas team do some fundraising as well.
What is a golden egg? I hear that. It's such a funny name for anything. What in the world is a golden egg for Acorn Canvas?
A golden egg is a monthly recurring donation from an ally.
Oh, okay. So I think I heard you say you were looking at 400 golden eggs for next year, which is more than the whole organization got from coast to coast in Canada, this whole 4,000-mile border. So what got into your head, Olivia O'Connor? What do you got in mind to get 400, or was that just sort of you're messing with them?
No, we're with our fundraising goal. The reason we came up with 400 is just most of the money raised at the doors through canvassing would be monthlies.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
Why the number would be so high.
Attached to the canvassing. Yeah. Now, when people talk about canvassing, you hear this more and more in various countries where we work. What is canvassing?
Canvassing, in this, it's different than organizing, mm-hmm. which is more called door knocking.
Yeah.
For canvassing in this context, it's going door to door, kind of a higher income neighborhood, focusing on one issue and looking for community allies to match what our low income members give.
And sometimes in political campaigns, there's lots of canvassing, but that's more voter ID or voter persuasion, I think.
Yeah.
Do we do any of that at all down in Hamilton or elsewhere?
I think we're looking to do it in the new year. We
okay.
Did do a bit of political organizing around the municipal election in October. We put out a survey.
Oh, in Hamilton there's a municipal election.
In October we just had one.
Oh, you just had one. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
We just had one. We did a bit of political organizing. We had a political action committee with six leaders from around the city. So we created a survey that we sent out to candidates, did a few one-on-one interviews with some candidates that we had our eye on, and ended up endorsing a few candidates as well.
Well, Hamilton sounds like it's become an exciting place, and you seem like you just have your arms all around it and ready to go, huh?
I am.
Okay. So, sadly, we're about the end of this show. If people wanted to know more about Hamilton or Hamilton Acorn or any of the housing campaigns you're doing, from landlord registry, what is that, to, the LRT, to community benefits, is there a way that they can get in touch with Hamilton Acorn or Olivia O'Connor?
Yep. We're very active on Facebook. If you type in Hamilton Acorn, it will be the first thing that comes up. We're on Twitter, Acorn Hamilton, and then you can reach us by email at hamilton@acorncanada.org.
Can't be too hard to do that. Hamilton, Hamilton, at acorncanada.org. We've been talking to Olivia O'Connor, head organizer of Acorn Canada's Hamilton office, who has really helped revive this with some great leaders and great issues. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we'll have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade's World. Thank you.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.